We sang a chorus earlier on. He is the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. He is the King forevermore. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. As we read, here Jesus said, "This is the reason I was born, to be King." And that's a very significant statement. We often think this time of year, born in a stable and so on and so on. And we think he's my Savior, the Lamb of God who took away my sin. Absolutely wonderful news that, and essential. But here's Jesus saying, I was born to be King. Inferring that there's somebody else that is in that position. And that's what I want to talk about. Something happened on Calvary, which was an immense, more than a course that we can possibly really imagine. But one of the major thing that happened, let me just read a couple of pages earlier, what Jesus said in chapter 12. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said, a little while longer. Sorry, I'm going to go back a bit. Now is the judgment of this world, and the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples unto myself. So, what he's saying, that everybody on earth, all the peoples, were drawn to another ruler at that time. And he's saying, if I be lifted up, talking about the cross, that he was going to do something that was going to dramatically change the whole situation, where all the peoples of earth were not going to be under this ruler anymore, but come under, draw all men unto himself. And the cross was the great crisis point of judgment. For judgment I have come into this world, he says, that the ruler of this world is going to be cast out. I was listening this morning, you might have heard it, the little service on Radio 4. We have the radio on in the morning, whether we listen to it or not. But they quoted from that bit in Matthew, I think it was, the beginning, when the beginning of the gospel, and it says, the whole world is walking in darkness. And the whole world is in absolute darkness. We must remember this is absolutely thick darkness. Not in the sense that the sun doesn't shine, of course, not naturally, but darkness comes, that what he means is anything that is apart from God is dark. And everyone is oblivious of God because of the darkness of this world. And that's why he says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the life of life. Everybody else is walking in darkness. They don't know God at all. And that's a tragic thing, and that's what the ruler of this world has come to do, is blind people and make them, stop them coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is his intention, to do that. And when Jesus Christ came, he says, no, I've got to be lifted up to change that, to annul his ruler and his authority over men and women of humanity. throughout all the ages. I've come, and I've come to cast this ruler out. I was born king. Hallelujah. I shouldn't have said to be king, really, because he's always been king. But he was born that the world might understand that he is the king. Hallelujah. And that's why he said, after he'd risen, he says, all power is given unto me. He's talking out of the authority of a king. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and preach this gospel to all nations, teaching all men. In other words, we're to understand that he rules the heavens and the earth, and all power is given to him because he was lifted up on Calvary. And the first thing it had to be done for this to be recognized was to take away our darkness, and that was the darkness of sin that dwells in every heart. And judgment has come. The crisis point in everybody's life is Calvary. Who is going to rule my life? That is a great crisis point. Thank God he's given us the opportunity to come to him. He says this, he says, forgotten it. Never mind. Just my age, you'll have to forgive me. Anyway, judgment is come into this world, and that is the great crisis point we must believe. He that believeth in me shall not come into judgment, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Now, he is the critical man. And what is done is absolutely critical. Now, as we look around this world, you say, well, where is the kingship? Where is it? He's already done the work, but there's going to be a day when he will show his majesty to all the world. And really, the enemy is still out to thwart that. And that's what I want to talk about. We have an enemy who wants to deceive and to get people, even Christians, to go off route. And I was speaking to somebody the other day, and they said, oh, I partially believe. And I said, well, why do you partially believe? He said, well, God hasn't shown himself. And so the conversation went on. In other words, he was deceived by what was going on in the world, that God wasn't real. And that's the logic of the world. Why starvation? Why all the trouble in the world? Why wars? Why all this and that when you see the dreadful, dreadful things that are happening? And that was his logic. I want us to turn to 2 Thessalonians to start with, please. Jesus was in this, he was brought before Pilate, he was a representative of Caesar, who was the king of kings. Imagine it, saying, I was born to be king. And he was saying that to the representative of Caesar, the king of all the world at that time, the great high priest, he called himself. He called himself the Son of God, divine. And here is Jesus saying, I'm born to be king. I am born king. So you can imagine the the incredible statement that was. And he says, well, what's truth? The truth is that he is king. That was the issue. The truth is that Jesus is Almighty, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Devastating to say that, putting his life at risk to say that. But that's what he was saying, and that's what Pilate understood. But he, like all others, they had the choice of receiving it or not receiving it, because there's a deceiver. But I want to tell you that this deceiver is going to be showing up for what he is one day. We walk by faith with the love of God in our hearts. We believe against all the things that the world seems as hopeless, because we have a hope in our hearts that one day, and I believe that day is going to be short, that one day Jesus is going to be revealed and show the enemy, the devil, the Antichrist for who he is. And in chapter 2 of Thessalonians, we read this, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him," we ask you, two separate things, "none, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you." Here we are, this great deception. Jesus spoke about it a lot in chapter 24 of Matthew, about his coming. So many deceivers going to say, "I am Christ, I'm going to do this and that and the other." Well, it is happening, and here it comes to a great climax on earth, and he talks about this day will not come unless the falling away, that's an apostasy, comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition or destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that it may be revealed in its own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Quite a statement, isn't it? But that is what we're heading for. And you can see the embryo of it even now. The denial of God, the denial of Christ, the Son of God. And here we have what happens in a nutshell at the very end. And he's called the lawless one, the Antichrist. And he takes the place of God in the temple, which will be built in Jerusalem. You wonder why these things are written, really. in the sense that I believe that the saints will be raptured before this time in the great tribulation. But we ought to know and we ought to understand that what this world is heading for and what we're up against. We're in a world as light of the world. Jesus said, we are the light of this world, and everyone is in darkness because they do not receive the love of the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men, and beyond that, He is the King. Man is not the King. Governments are not. Jesus Christ is the King, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Talks about it in Revelation in big capitals. And it's very rare that the original manuscripts puts anything in big capitals. And it's not just capitals, it's bigger than capitals. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is in the manuscript in big, big letters. Hallelujah. And so, here we have that. Now let's go back to Daniel. That comes after Ezekiel. We'll go backwards a bit. Just turn to Daniel chapter 7. And Daniel was a man who had visions, and it was always around the who was king at that time. And it was all about who was on the throne. So when you read Daniel, it's talking about how God is intervening on whoever is on the throne at that time. And at this particular time, a man called Belshazzar was on the throne. He came after the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And we'll go back, we'll talk about Nebuchadnezzar in a little while. But Belshazzar, that was when he had this dream, not Belshazzar, but Daniel. And what he sees, I've not got time to read it all, but in chapter 7, God gives him a vision of four beasts that are going to rise out of the sea. When it talks about the sea, it talks about the Mediterranean, the Great Sea. That's where these beasts are going to rise. So all this great thing is going to rise out on the region of the Mediterranean, in other words. And let me just see where... we'll come in at chapter 7, verse 17. And he asks, what does all this thing mean? And he says, those great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which had different from all others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with his feet. And the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up before, which three fell, namely the horn which had eyes and a mouth and spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than its fellows. Just going back, we see what this... this horn does, this king that comes up. See, there's going to be 10 kings at the end of the time, and then four, then out of these four come one particular one. And this is, he says, I was considering the horn, this is verse 8, and there was another horn, a little horn coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots, and there in this horn the eyes were like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking pompous words. And I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. The garment was white as snow, and his hair was head was pure wool. The throne was a fiery throne with wheels of burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him, and thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. And it goes on, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near to him. That's talking about Jesus Christ's ascension to God. And then to him was given glory, dominion, and a kingdom. That's Jesus. And all peoples, nations, and languages around should serve him. And a dominion is an everlasting kingdom, and which shall not pass away, and his dominion the one which shall not be destroyed. So we have this great situation. The ruler of this world is now heading up to be God. And he gets to this place where he blasphemes, and everything seems that he is on top of the world, so to speak. He's always wanted this, of course. You remember the time of temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus was tempted, and Satan said, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world if you fall down and worship me. You see, but the kingdoms of this world are of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. But what I'm trying to paint this picture, if you like, for us, is that we live in a day where we have a tremendous opposition that is going to increase and increase, and we've got to understand when things don't seem right, in inverted commas, and God seems far away, that he's not. And it goes on to say, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. All the earth is going to be controlled by this Antichrist. And trample it and break it in pieces. That is what this earth is heading for. There's going to be a global dominion that denies God. It says the 10 horns are 10 kings which arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise against them, and so on and so forth. Haven't got really time. And verse 25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and intend to change the times and the laws. And then the saints shall be given into his hands for a time and times and time and a half. That's 3.5 years. In other words, the saints are going to be killed. Those believers are going to be slaughtered. You can read about it in more detail in Revelation. And it's so important to read it. The scripture says, blessed is the man that reads it and understands it. Read Revelation. You might think it's difficult, but keep reading it. Look up commentaries, if you like. Do your research, do your study, because it'll really be a great comfort to you. And so we have. Let me just turn back now to another vision of Daniel. You'll be very familiar with this one, I think, in chapter 2, and that's Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And you know here he describes almost the same sort of thing. Or the leading up to something where Nebuchadnezzar has this great dream and can't even remember it, but he knows he's had a dream that's really disturbed him, and nobody can tell him the dream or even interpret it. And others say, well, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. But he was on the ball that they were just conniving lot. And he said, right, none of you can tell me the dream, then I'm going to kill you all. And that included Daniel. And Daniel had been gifted with dreams. This wasn't the first dream he had. It indicates that he had other dreams. He was gifted in this sort of thing. And he realized he was going to be killed as well. And he went to say that, look, give me a little time and I'll ask God. And God gave him this dream, and he went into Nebuchadnezzar's throne room, and he says, I know the dream that you've had, and astonishing. And he said, look, there's a big statue, the head is of gold, which is you. You rule over everything. You are the king that rules over all. And below that, you've got the chest and the arms. The two arms, that's the Medes and Persians, silver. That was the kingdom which is to come after him. And then you get the thigh, which was Greece, which was bronze. And then you get the iron. And the feet with 10 toes, the iron legs and the feet with 10 toes. And these were a dreadful kingdom that was come, which is the Roman kingdom. All prophesied before. And he goes on to talk about these different Roman being particularly vicious. And the feet were made of iron and clay, and they did not mix. And had 10 toes. Well, we've just read about the 10 kings. These are the 10 kings that are on the earth, that it will be in our day. But it doesn't seem to mix. But nevertheless, in that day, it says this, and this is the wonderful thing about it. And where are we? Let me read it because I think it's so good. Verse 43 of chapter 2. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seeds of men. They will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. In other words, there's confusion among the nations. People are trying to get together. They're trying to be unified, but there's no unity. It just doesn't work. Something is not working. And despite all their efforts. And you can say that about even the government today, the United Nations and so on and so forth. I'm not being political at all, but people are talking, but that it doesn't actually unify into anything that can be done properly. And in those days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces because, I haven't read it yet, because the vision is that a stone from a mountain comes out with uncut hands. In other words, an eternal thing, a stone, a rock, is going to come and smash it all to smithereens. All the kingdoms of this world. And he says, it will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Insomuch as you saw that in the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, gold, the great God has made known unto the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain. In verse 28, he says, this is what's going to be happening in the latter days. That is the end of days. And we are in the end of days. We live in fast-changing time. And we have to realize that there's a God of this world which has already been defeated at Calvary. He is not the ruler. He's not the King of Kings. Jesus Christ is. And in God's wisdom and understanding, He's wanting us to understand where we live in. We're not living in a time which is going to be easy. In fact, if we read it all, we said that this Antichrist is going to kill all the saints. This is the terrible, terrible times, particularly the last 3.5 years. Go into far more detail, but all I want us to understand is that in this troublesome time, God has got a plan, He has got a time, and it will be worked out according to His power and His glory, and His kingdom shall last forever and ever. And the deceiver, keep yourself into this book, read it, understand it, get wisdom. Above all things, get wisdom, the Bible says. And all wisdom really is, you can't have wisdom without knowledge. Wisdom is something that you accumulate because you've got understanding about something. You've got knowledge of something. And wisdom is the application of that knowledge. And where we get our knowledge is from this book, from the preaching of the word, from other sources, but it particularly, and of course is foundationally in this book. And when this great stone comes from heaven and smashes all these kingdoms of the world, it's referring to a great time where Jesus Christ says that the builders have rejected the stone, meaning Jesus Christ. The builders have rejected Him as King. The builders have rejected Him as, and He said this will be the very capstone of the temple. In other words, the very last piece that's put in place in the structure which exalts Him above every other stone. And that is what He's... The builders have rejected Him, but I'm going to come and He is going to be the very capstone. He is the very foundation of it, and He's going to be exalted, and He's going to be, as it were, the last piece that holds everything together, and He is going to be realized as the one who is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the head of all the body, the Church of Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful prospect we've got. But let us understand. Let us keep our hearts strong. Be courageous. Don't worry. Comfort yourselves in this, like Paul says. Comfort yourself. He's not come yet, but He is going to come. And we live by trust, by faith, by the absolute knowledge that He loves me no matter what happens. I see something beyond what is happening now in circumstances. Amen.